Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment. It is my honor, as usual. Once our guests present, I really, truly thank them from the bottom of my heart because I know their time is precious and I know that they are here to teach you and I about how they went through their journey. And it is our hope that we would learn from them, gain wisdom, insights, so that you and I can become better human spirits while we occupy this beautiful planet of ours that people call Earth. It is my pleasure to welcome Ryan to Threads of Enlightenment. Thank you, sir, for coming by.
Oh, Ken, yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Thanks. I can't wait because I'm going to pick your brain on a few things, man. So tell the people about the things that you have created today, as I tell them usually, we are creators, your podcast and all the other things. Talk to them.
I guess the first thing I should mention is I created three kids with my wife. But
That's always a good thing, man.
three daughters. They're 11, 9, and 7.
Wow.
So congrats. That's a big part of my life. Yep. In terms of create, I've always been creating businesses. Going back to college, you know, e-commerce sites and just different types of businesses. But then, you know, fast forward to today, I created Morning Upgrade, which is my passion project for raising the awareness of personal development and morning routines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been an evolution, Ken. It started out as a blog and then I added a podcast as we were speaking about. I wrote a book. I created a morning routine product. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess what's next, probably a mastermind connected to the business because I'm in several masterminds and it really fills my cup and I believe in them 100%. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of where I'm at. I've always been creating. I love doing it.
Yeah, I think we all are, as I mentioned to you in the beginning. And we all create all the time. It's just what is the purpose and the desire. Is this the lifestyle? Is this the creation I want to have? I believe we create on a default because of who we are. We're naturally creators and people create their life on default. And by the time they wake up and realize where they're at, they're like, oh, heck, how did I get here? I want to talk to you a little, Ryan, because I believe that, as I mentioned to you, once we hit this planet, that the programming begins, and it's usually in our family, the type of family that we have. Sometimes ancestral things and behaviors manifest also within that programming. I want you to go back and recollect some of those programming or your family life, as they say, and introduce us to that aspect of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I come from I was going to use the word normal, but is there such a thing? I'm not really sure, but, you know, parents are still married. My dad worked a lot. He wasn't around much. Yeah. He was a very good provider in that sense, for sure. But he worked crazy hours, you know, 100 hours a week. So it was mostly my mom and I have two brothers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the memories I have is really of her and my two brothers. And obviously for my friends as well.
Yeah.
You know, better relationship with my dad now.
Yeah.
Not that it was a bad relationship. There just wasn't a relationship, you know.
He was just doing the things that he knew, again, that generation and I guess all generation with men is the fact that we are burdened with the, as provider, burdened in the sense where, say, a
drives us. It causes us to do things. Sometimes we miss the beautiful things like connecting with our family a little deeper than usual. But all of us, all men, are driven by that programming that they have given us from generation. And they tie our manhood into the job that we do, too. So you lose your job, you lose your manhood. So there's another aspect of stuff we have to deal with. But here you are, you consider it a normal. And I like that because most of us have normal. And I think our parents, Ryan, they do the best they can with what they have. And I believe this thing about generational opportunities arises where we have one generation where they have an opportunity to make some changes, take the family to a different trajectory, as they say, whether it's in business or other different aspects. So how did that normal life form Ryan?
I mean, I think, so being that my dad, so we have a family business, the 100 hours a week, I was talking about my dad working. It's in a company called Ballantyne. It's our family business and it's still around today. I'm third generation. I think being around, maybe that work ethic created an entrepreneurial spirit in me where that's where I wanted to create things. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure because my one brother, well, he's a hard worker, but he's not, like, he doesn't like creating businesses. So I don't know why I'm a little bit different in that sense. Maybe we just, I'm not sure how that works, but I was naturally attracted to that entrepreneurial spirit, seeing him build a business, working the hours, the success that he had. And, you know, right out of, I mean, I can literally think of right out of college, even in college, I had like eBay things going on. And when I graduated college, I got a job, but I remember waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to work on different projects. Like I was trying to create an ebook and sell that. Yeah. And it's always had like this thirst to create things. And it still goes on today. Like I've got Morning Upgrade, I've got Ballantyne, but I have other businesses too that I run on the side because I just like creating. You know, I think if I had to guess, it probably does stem from, you know, seeing my dad work the business and grow the business and have success with it.
Yeah, I'm sure some of that will rub off on you, man, because I remember I have boys. I have five boys. So I remember when my youngest, I came home from work, Ryan, and one day I'm in my suit and my mind is running on the bills and I'm contemplating this stuff and I'm walking in the house, you know, just strolling, as they say. And just thinking about it, you know, how am I going to come up with this and that, you know? And I felt this energy behind me and I watched and there was my little boy walking exactly how I was walking, had his head down exactly like he was just mimicking me. And it scared the heck out of me, man. And it taught me a lesson that regardless of someone is always watching, regardless of what you think. But when it comes to my children, I wanted to ensure that I develop principles and lifestyle ways so that it can influence them because that profoundly affected me when I saw him mimic it. And so I assume that you got some of that from your father probably unconditionally. You made some decisions within yourself as you saw him going, you know, maybe he said something like, I want to do something like that. Maybe you saw some kind of connection to it with your dad and that's who you are. You know, it happened.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah. Even if I wasn't aware of it, you know. But I agree with you too. Like, action definitely speaks louder than words. So I think about that with my girls because we're all imperfect. You know, we all have bad habits and don't always make the best decisions. And so I'm more aware of that now with them, because especially because they're getting older now. And so they see more, they understand more.
Yeah, the human experience.
I do my best to. Yeah.
You know, exactly. We're all in school every day, every day, every day. And I love the premise behind your program is having that daily routine, a morning routine. And we'll get to some of that because it's important when you incorporate something like that in your personal development. So here we go. We're walking. We're coming back to today. Ryan, we are in high school, in college. You said you graduated. You were still dabbling with businesses here and there with the creative space. Did you ever really connect into anything at the time, personality-wise, beyond the entrepreneurial aspect of living an ex your living experience?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not sure how vulnerable I should be getting here, but I'm going to try to answer your question with what came to mind first. So if I think back to high school, my personality, and I'm not sure if this directly answers your question, but I'm just going to go with it and we'll see we'll see what happens. So I've always had, I've always been I've always been slightly uncomfortable in my own skin. Like feel like I didn't exactly, belong. Even it's weird though, because I've always had friends, I think back to high school, college. Pretty normal, friends and stuff like that. But I just never felt super comfortable. Always had like an underlining layer of self-confidence issues. Yeah. And I could think back to some things in childhood with kids being kids, and it just never left me.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where all the personal development comes in. That and just maybe that's part of it, just trying to heal those wounds, as I say.
Yeah.
But I've always had that slight feeling like I don't belong exactly.
So talk to me a little about that very spot right there, Brian, because I think that is important because some people it's little incidents that happen to us that cause us to make decisions that will govern our life, our behavior, our attitudes. And usually they happen at a young age, and we will make the decision then and there, just a statement that we would release. And once we release that statement, unknowingly, that thing is lodged within us, and we find that we have to deal with it. When we're in our 20s, it'll pop up 20s and 30s, something that happened, a little incident that happened sometimes, usually when we were young kids. So could you speak to that? Because from what you're saying and what I can perceive is that it did govern your behavior and your mentality as to who you were, and it was that impactful that it did govern you. So can you open up a little as to that? And so that we can get some insight, because we're going to ask you, what were the tools that you used to overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the incident I was referring to, I think it was maybe third grade, fourth, fifth grade. I can't remember, but around that time. And it was basically just kids calling me fat, chubby, whatever the word was used. Yeah. And I don't remember if I was. Maybe I was. I don't remember. But it never left me. So I think it sounds silly, like that one little incident doing that, but and I remember the kids that said it, they were neighbors of ours on the street, and I ended up I was kind of friends with them throughout middle school, and then eventually they left, but not really friends, kind of friends, but not really. But yeah, there was that incident, and that created an eating disorder, seventh and eighth grade. And eventually I got over it. But it made me dive into health and wellness, which isn't a bad thing. I took it to an extreme at certain points, but I'm better now. But yeah, that's the incident.
Yeah, it's always
sounds silly, right?
No, it's not, because it was impactful enough to cause you to behave certain way. So it isn't, when you say silly, I think it's some of the incidents that is used to help develop who we are, good or bad. And even if it's bad, then it will serve us to a certain point of view until we begin our journey of self-development, where we have to want to deal with the aspect of what that hurt, because it's all hurt, it's trauma in a way that we have to then bring up and face, and overcome and so forth. So it drove you into the gym, eating better, which is not bad at all. From listening to you, I can tell that you have one of those personalities that will overdo it. So talk to me about, how did you overdo it, Ryan? How did you push yourself to the point from this statement that was made to you about you at a young age and when it formulated you? Because we do sometimes go overboard, man.
Yeah. So then the eating disorder was seventh and eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, it got better. It became more just a real focus on what I ate and then working out. So when I say take it to the extreme, I wouldn't eat pretzels. I still remember I was junior year in high school at a party, and I had four or five friends surrounding me trying to force me to eat a Skittle. And I was I'm not going to eat the Skittle. They're trying to force me to eat the Skittle. And so I just was so strict with myself that it became, I think, an unhealthy obsession. Yeah. And I eventually got myself, worked myself out of that in college, had a more healthy relationship to food and to working out and stuff like that. But there was a 2 or 3 year stretch where I was just so strict with myself that it became an obsession.
How did you make that transition, Ryan? as you mentioned, in college. How did you make the transition from being strict? And what do you recall that caused you to make that decision where you said, you know, I don't need to do that?
Honestly, I think it might be the first thing that came to my mind when you asked that is I think it was just the natural maturing process of being in college, mm-hmm. making new friends, going to parties, which, you know, that's not very healthy with, like, you know, drinking and whatnot. And so, and late night pizza after the bar and stuff like that. So I think part of it is just making new friends and just really wanted to have fun and enjoy myself. And then also just education, like learning more about nutrition, what's good, what's bad, learning how to work out. I would go to the gym at college a lot. And did I play sports? No sports in college, but high school I played sports. Yeah. So I think it was just more of just learning the right way of doing it and starting to get pulled into the direction of also wanting to enjoy myself because I had friends that were fun and then I got a girlfriend and it just snapped me out of it, you know. Yeah. That's at least from what I can remember.
Yeah, awesome. Now, as you're doing this and changing, because you are beginning to morph, as they say, with your who you are and stuff like that, and you mentioned that you are still maintaining your relationship with entrepreneurship. Talk to me as to some of the entrepreneur adventures that you began to look at when you were in your college.
Yeah, so I've got a bunch. So in college, I had an eBay store. Mm-hmm. So I was selling watches and actually kind of crazy. This was high school. I had an eBay business too where I bought – this is back when it was the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
I actually bought like ephedrine, which is like a supplement I don't think is legal anymore.
No, it's not legal, man.
It's not legal, but this back then it was. Mm-hmm. So, and so I remember buying the powder and I would make capsules myself and then sell the supplement on eBay and people actually were buying it. It just became too labor intensive. Yeah. So, and I was taking it myself too. Like, I used to work at GNC, so I was really into supplements. I still am really into supplements, knew my stuff very well, especially back then when I was working in the business. So I did that. I had the eBay business I told you about. I did affiliate marketing, which is selling other mm-hmm. products for a commission. Yeah. Did very well with that for about a 3-year stretch. Didn't manage the business properly. Eventually, and changed with Google and stuff. But I did very well with that for 3 years. I had an e-commerce store. Two didn't work out very well. One worked out very well. Eventually sold it. And then 2010, I started a service business helping small businesses. Mm-hmm. And I still run that today. And I've grown that into a nice business. Those are the things on my and then Morning Upgrade, which is officially a business, cash flow positive and LLC and all of that. Yeah. But yeah, just I love doing this stuff. You know, it doesn't always work out. What I like to remind myself and others is that they're not all going to work out. But you learn something in the process of doing the business, what to do, what not to do. And there was a couple of e-commerce stores. I was like, man, this is going to be a home run, mm-hmm. and it was a complete flop. And the one that I didn't expect to work out, ended up doing well. And so you just never know. But even in the failures, there's lessons. And so as long as you're keeping your eyes open and you're receiving the lessons that you're learning, it's never a failure.
It never is. And we had, you know, Ben Franklin and all those guys, you can tell you the amount of times that they were trying different ways. And it's simply trying different ways. And then one day you're going to hit on that thing that works. And so, you are driven by this spirit of entrepreneurship. And I think it's great because I believe, Brian, every one of us is designed to be an entrepreneur based on once we have gone through our journey and we identify the thing that lights us up. You went through your journey and it identified with you that lights you up. And you talk about this particular, the Morning Upgrade and stuff like that and the products and the different things that will come out of that. When that lights you up, I believe everyone has to go through this. When they find that thing that lights them up, then it's not really work. It is something you absolutely love. And I believe that we are all designed to be in that space where we're walking in this and your business and my business, we are supposed to be working and helping each other and getting this thing going together. But because of the system that is set up by which we are we participate in, and they slave us out, as they say, because I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday when he was giving a testimony when he was working, he was wanting to quit. He went to the job. We told him, he said, hey, this company's going to pay me $20 an hour. He was making $9 an hour. Now listen to this. They told him that they upped his pay to $20 an hour. And he's looking at them going, why didn't you do this way before? And I told him because they didn't want to. They didn't have a need to do that. You know, they didn't see the value in you until you saw the value in you. And it took an outside entity that saw the value in you to pay for your value. And then when you brought your value to these guys who really don't see any value in you, but I believe the COVID is forcing the companies to see the value and people are recognizing stuff going, wait a minute. And the corporations are being forced to evaluate the way they do business because the employee, we just saw a situation with Amazon, because again, they're looking going, wait a minute, you guys are making money. So it's when they see the value in you. And I believe all of us need to see the value in ourselves in order to trust ourselves to step out and start those businesses that are yet waiting to be given birth to, man. And so here you are, Ryan, you're moving through, you got college. Talk to me about some of the things that you had to overcome. You mentioned a little with the weight issue and so forth. What were, as an entrepreneur, because I know some of the dances that you have to do as an entrepreneur, talk to me about some of those things that you had to overcome, the unknown, as they say, as you step out within the arena of entrepreneurship. It does demand a different breed of a different mentality.
It does, for sure. I mean, one thing I want to mention is the real estate investments that we have, because that's the entrepreneurial project for my wife and I. She pushed me to do it once we got married. I really did not want to be a landlord. It was the last thing I wanted to do. And that experience, the last, what has it been, 15 years now, has been riddled with lessons. Like, I remember one time I was at work in a meeting and we had a property that was vacant for a couple months. And it was on my mind because, you know, you're paying the mortgage, but no rent's coming in. And I was in a meeting at Ballantyne and my phone rang and it was the listing agent. And so I excused myself from the meeting because I thought she had good news. And evidently what happened was the tenants, when they moved out, they took their washer and dryer with them. The line wasn't properly. I'm not very handy, so I don't know the terms, but it wasn't fully closed. It was dripping and they didn't notice it. And that drip, day after day after day after day, it made the ceiling collapse into the second floor, into the first floor, not like a complete, but partially caved in. And so I was like, oh, okay. I was not expecting that phone call. So I was like, yeah, practice what you preach, took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and just, this will pass and I'll deal with this later. And went back into the meeting. And so I think if I had to tie that to a lesson, it's really expecting challenges, expecting the unexpected, knowing that they're going to come, maybe not tomorrow, but you know, challenges are going to happen. You just have to deal with it. If you're going to play in this arena, that's just a byproduct of that. And you have to expect them. And then when they happen, deal with them head on. Don't run from them, because I found, at least in my experience, when I run away from problems, not that I'm perfect at it, but when I run away from problems, it becomes like a screaming toddler that just is running after me, screaming their head off, you know? And so I have to just attack it head on. So that's definitely one lesson I've learned from the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I think what it is that it's not the fact that stuff happens, Ryan. It's how you respond when stuff happens, I think, is the key to dealing with when we have unexpected situations that arise in our lives. And it is based on your perspective when you look at that situation. If you focus on the negative aspect of that situation, it can then tangle you in, could suck at your energy, it can do all these types of stuff. But when you shift your perspective in the sense of a problem solver, you're looking at it now from a different energy level. You're looking at them seeking answers, open to new approaches, all of those things. And so I tell people, watch your perspective, especially when a situation approaches you. How are you going to deal with that? How are you going to respond? So I want you to talk to me, because I love your title of your show and the things that you do, because I want to know, how did you begin to focus a little on your personal development? How did that because you've been doing it from, as you're telling your story, there's the thread of you doing it constantly through, you're making the adjustment. But how did you purposely move into the space of personal development?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if I think back to 2017, okay, that was a time in Ballantyne where things were not going very well. We were losing a lot of clients. Mm-hmm. I was feeling very mediocre with everything. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I had enough awareness at least that, like, of course, there's things that are probably broken in the business. Yeah. Need to be fixed, but there's probably something that's broken inside here as well, inside me. And so I need to, you're right. Up to that point, I was showing signs of, like, health and wellness, the books that we read, mm-hmm. like, circling the whole personal development arena. Yeah. But that situation where I felt like, whoa, what is going on right now? Because it was like client one, client two, client three, all these big clients leaving. So I took a step back and I was like, I need to do something differently. So we made changes in the business, and then, like who we go after, who we service best, how we service them, all those things. And then I dove deep into even more into personal development. Mm-hmm. So I heard a podcast from Hal Elrod, mm-hmm. Miracle Morning. Just happened to, it's funny how things show up when you're ready to hear them. And I was like, oh, morning routine, that sounds interesting. I should try that. I started boxing because it made me very uncomfortable. I made big changes in my diet, like no red meat, just trying to like put together a plan that I felt like would change mm-hmm. me as a person. Yeah. And, that was 2017. And we could talk about how Morning Upgrade came to be, but that's really where the morning routine started. It was 2017. And I think that's where when I started to dive deeper into personal development. And then eventually it led to Morning Upgrade.
Yeah. I think I always tell people as creators, the creator does not show up in our life until we are in dark places, Ryan. I don't believe that there's no need for the creator to show up, the creator that is within you, because everything is doing fine. But when your world starts to get into darkness, and I use the principle from the Bible because I grew up in a church, creation was a mess, it was darkness. And then the creator shows up and he looks at this darkness and he wanted a certain things out of it. And so he spoke to it. He spoke exactly what he wanted out to come out of it. And he said, I need light. And so he said, let there be light. And so I always say to people, when your darkness comes, here is your opportunity to be specific. And the reason why you're in dark is because you haven't made up your mind. You haven't decided yet exactly what is your statement of faith. What is it that is going to guide you and cause you to get up and put in the study, put in the work that is necessary to accomplish what you believe in. And I've heard people talk about it a million times. I listen to them and I'll ask them, what do you want? A lot of people would like money, but when you get down to the, when you say to them, what do you want? They still don't know what they want. And so it's a interesting thing to watch. That's why I ask you, because I wanted to see where did that change come from. And it always 99.99999 times comes from the dark places, because that's when you and I begin to see who we truly are. And we delve into the aspect of growing, getting answers, seeking things out so that we can become a better, more mature human spirit, as I call us. So you begin to focus and you begin to gain some of those insights. Here you are right here and you're talking about, tell me some of those things that you noticed, Ryan, that you had given permission unknowingly to reside within your belief system that you realized was there and had to focus on how to uproot them or how to manage them. Talk about some of those. We call those things fearfulness. We call about all the different things people label it. But talk to me about when some of those things you started identifying and realized, holy cow, I didn't know that. And how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're going back to 2017, I think it was really, and I mentioned this in the earlier part of the interview, just having these lingering self-esteem issues or not feeling like enough. And, I think if I go back to that year, because when I first started at Ballantyne, it was just me. I was a director of marketing. There wasn't the whole digital division that I manage now. Mm-hmm. And so I was just very focused on myself. I would go into the office. All I had to worry about was myself. I didn't have to be a leader, I guess, leading myself. But in 2017, we had a team. And so those lingering self-esteem issues, I think it kind of started creeping into, am I a good enough leader? Why are they working here? And it wasn't extreme thoughts like that, but there was lingering, just I could feel it kind of, like, you know, somewhere inside. And so, yeah, just like, just feeling less than, not a good enough leader, not a good enough boss. Am I the right person to do this role, you know, run the division? And that's, you know, that's why I dove so deep into the personal development, because to me, at least, I didn't know any other answer. I couldn't think of any other answer besides experience and just putting in the reps was to work on myself. Cause I believe when you work on your personal growth, you show up differently. And I feel like there's seasons that it's sort of like ups and downs. And if I'm being honest, I feel another season coming up for me soon.
Yeah.
With one of the businesses where I'm seeing things I'm not happy with. I'm feeling things I'm not happy with. And it makes sense though, because 2022, 2017, it's a much different business. Mm-hmm. And so I feel another change coming. I don't know what it is yet. So I'm not going to talk on it, but I feel it coming where I'm going to need to start making big changes for myself, maybe for the company. I'm not sure, but that's the nature of this business.
Yeah. There's a season for everything. You know, that's life. That's the movement of life. I think to think differently is foolishness, you know,
right.
Everything comes that way. We have in the natural realm, you know, summer, spring, you know, those are seasons of things. And, you have to dress differently. You could behave differently in each season. And I think, that applies to our life. It absolutely does. And that's how I look at life. I understand exactly what you're talking about. And, I look for those and identify when it's a season of rest and all of these different things, and you behave differently within. You're talking to me about it, but you still haven't identified. You haven't told me yet, Ryan, how did you make it? I want to know how you realized that you were it. I, Ryan, am the boss. I know that I am. How did you learn that? And how was that transition?
I mean, I think that's, now we're getting closer to like the current year. And so, and not that things are perfect. I feel like when you think about like leadership and personal development, it's an ongoing journey. Mm-hmm. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And so I'm not saying by any means things are perfect on this end, but things are much better. And really, honestly, I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. It is doing the personal development consistently day after day. It's the experience and just maturing as a person and getting more comfortable with who you are and accepting who you are and who you're not. It's consistently pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And so I always look, for example, okay, today in 2 hours, I joined a Krav Maga class. Mm-hmm. I committed to 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's like Israeli combat training.
Yeah.
I went for a free trial session this past Monday, and I was uncomfortable because I don't know what I'm doing. And there's guys there and women there that are like very trained in that. And so I was like, you know what? I feel the pull not to do it, so I'm going to do it. And so I look for those opportunities. Masterminds have been a big thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, masterminds where you get together with people that have a common goal and you try to help them, they try to help you. That was uncomfortable for me too, because I want to come with a full cup. I want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And just that whole process, I'm in three groups, and that whole process of meeting new people, helping them with their challenges, them helping me with my challenges, that's evolved me as a person as well. And so I don't think there's any silver bullet here. If I had to sum it up, it's consistently working on yourself with personal development, masterminds, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, and then allow enough time for all that stuff to work. And then being easy on yourself, not expecting perfection. You're going to make a mistake. You know, don't beat yourself up. I've had to learn the self-care, self-love, whatever you want to call it, that principle as well.
Yeah, it is absolutely necessary in your personal growth to come to that space. Perfection, I believe, is the enemy of your self-growth. There is no such thing as, and we have this perception that perfection is attainable. No, it's not. So then I think once we get to that, because in your mind, when you get there, you're going to say to yourself, I am not perfect. So it's a fleeting thing, because your mind will always move the goalposts. I guarantee you, when you stand in front of it and everyone looks at you and said, you are perfect, you're going to say to yourself, no, I'm not. And you move the goalposts. So it's not something I tell people to chase. What I tell people to chase is to learn who you are. Chase falling in love with yourself. chase getting to know who you are, chase forgiving yourself, because those are major steps that you have to learn to do. Once you forgive yourself, Ryan, man, life changes, because you don't feel like you have to be proving things that much at all, that, hey, I'm okay, but I am open to moving. You have to be open to continually be moving. So talk to me, Ryan, especially getting back to this, we're getting closer, as you said. How did the podcast came about, the name and stuff like that? How did that incident took place? And you said, all right, this is the name of the podcast, and I'm going to go do a podcast.
Yeah, so if we look at maybe 2019, I started, as I got more into personal development, I started writing content on it, around it. I put it on LinkedIn. It wasn't like a intentional and medium. I just started, creating content that I found interesting, like taking cold showers and morning routines and different things like that. And then in April of 2020, when everything was going on, as we all know, I was at home and just had more clarity. And I remember being struck with the idea, like, I like writing about this personal development stuff. I should try to make a business out of it and try to impact people and try to create something that I'm really proud of. Because previous businesses, the marketing stuff, it helps people. But like my affiliate stuff, the e-commerce, that was really just to make money, And so I had this idea, like I should try to create a brand around personal development, around morning routines. And I think it's because my head was clearer. I had more time to think. And my mind just had the ability just to wander. And so I had that thought, I should create it. And so then I just took out a pen and paper and started just jotting down ideas. Like, what was I going to name it? What would I talk about? And it started out as a blog. Mm-hmm. I came up with Morning Upgrade because I do believe, like, to me, that's my pillar habit, is my morning routine. Mm-hmm. And you upgrade your morning, upgrade your life. I really believe that because I've been living it. And so I knew I wanted to be around something on like upgrading your mornings, and Morning Upgrade, easy to say, easy to spell. It was available, the domain name. So I'm like, ooh, jumped on it. And one lesson I have here for your audience is that are looking to start a business is, like you mentioned, perfection. It's not a good thing. Like, I try to really just take action quickly. So the site that I put up, it was a blog, just started out as a blog. It was like a free theme. I wasn't going to keep it like that forever. I just wanted to get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I came out with a free theme, published a site with a free theme, knowing that eventually I was going to redesign it, and I eventually did. And so I just got the ball rolling quickly. And then once I had the blog up, and I'll pause in a second. Once I got the blog up and the business was officially open, well, then I just started really just thinking, like, what else can I do? Podcast, book, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, because it's all new to me. Yeah. I've never done something like this before.
Yeah, it is. I'd alluded to that earlier about finding your you within your you. You talked about, I believe that all of us are entrepreneurs. And once you find you within your you, when you do it, man, when you think of it, yeah. And I tell people your statement of faith, as I mentioned, Ryan. Once you make it, it resides well within yourself, your spirit, man. You'll know it, man. And then you take the corresponding actions in order to manifest what you just saw within yourself, And that's how I started Threads of Enlightenment. It was a blog that, it was a book, and then it became a blog, and then it morphed to the podcast. And so, and then it's morphing to even more things. I have a store. It's moving. And so once you move and you make your decision, says this is it, you're you within your you, life becomes different. It's more fun. It's fun. It's just great to be alive. You start enjoying a smile, a noise. Things became different. And I keep telling people, because a lot of people focusing on the money part, I said, no, focus on the you within the you. Find that out first. And then you release the energy, the momentum. You went out, you got your sites, you got your thing, you put it together. Even if you just keep moving, man. I kept telling people, create momentum. Once you create momentum, that force is a powerful thing. You'll see people coming to you, ideas coming to you, stuff coming to you out of nowhere. And it'll help you to manifest the outcome that you desired quickly. So here you are, Ryan, you're moving it through, and we are here at present day. I know I tell people once you walk through your journey, you have an opportunity to serve, and you have created the books and all the different things. And I tell people, Ryan, the book is a private meeting with Ryan. It's a one-on-one so that you can gain his insights from his journey so that you can become a better individual by utilizing those principles that you have identified that are useful for you. I want you guys to get his books, get listen to his podcast. Ryan, talk to them as to where they can get to you and stuff like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. I really enjoyed this conversation too. You do a great job.
Oh, thanks, man.
So it's, so we've talked about two companies today, Ballantyne and Morning Upgrade. Ballantyne is ballantyne.com, very easy. Morning Upgrade is morningupgrade.com. And there you can get the book, my morning routine cards. I publish new blog content, usually weekly to every other week, but then the podcast is out every Sunday. Never miss that. It's every Sunday. It comes out once a week. And it's all there at morningupgrade.com.
Excellent. Brian, thank you so much for coming by Threads of Enlightenment. I really honestly appreciate it. And thank you for allowing us to get a glimpse of who you are in your journey and what you have created. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
No problem.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves often invisible to us in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.